My name is Adrian Westney Jr. It's my privilege to welcome you today to another edition of The More Abundant Life. The More Abundant Life is a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today, Pastor Phipps has chosen to present to us the message entitled Born to a Higher Destiny. This is going to be message number 188, program number 188 in our series. And I do hope that you will stay tuned because, as usual, the message is very thought-provoking, but it is going to be something that you can use in your life right now, today, this moment. The message, Born to a Higher Destiny, as presented by Pastor Phipps to the Seabrook Seventh-day Adventist Church, the message will begin in just a moment. Before the message, however, we have a special song. This one's entitled Somewhere.
Flowers dance in spring, in the icy wind they fade away. Morning brings the dawn, soon the night will come and shade the new day. But I dream of things eternal. I keep this hope burning in my soul, that somewhere the night is shining, somewhere a world out there is waiting for me. So teach the children well, tell them God has got a home in the sky. Help them find their way to a place where dreams never die. Soon this darkness will be over. I know we'll see a bright and better day. And oh, somewhere the night is shining, somewhere waiting for me. And I believe we'll get there someday, and love will light the way and lead us home. Somewhere the night is shining, somewhere is waiting for me. And I believe we'll get there someday, and love will light the way and lead us home. Love will light the way, love will light the way and lead us home.
Got your Bibles, I want you to draw your attention to a book in Scripture, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And there's just one verse here today, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 31. And I'm going to read in your hearing today from the New Living Translation. Hebrews 11, 31. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute did not die with all the others in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. My message this morning, born to a higher destiny, born to a higher destiny. In the drama of history, the names, titles, and descriptions people give to us often stay with us all our lives. And I cannot think of a worse title that a woman can wear in her life than the title of harlot or the title of whore. Because of her life of sin, the name harlot had been pinned on Rahab. And there was nothing she could do to live it down. You know, there's another verse in Scripture that tells us that when righteous people turn from righteousness to do deeds of wickedness, all the good they do will not be remembered. That title sticks with you. People remember the worst of you before they remember the best of you. Are you with me today? Everyone knew that Rahab was a bad woman, a woman of ill repute. I love the old English. That means of a bad reputation. She had a reputation of being sensual and vicious at the same time. Oh, you're not listening to me this morning. Sensual and vicious. See, I know some people like that. I know that's what you're saying. She had a reputation of being a traitor, one who would sell even her dignity for temporal advantage. Well, one day Joshua commissioned two spies to survey the city of Jericho. They were successful in compromising its security, and they went about gathering information on its defenses. Because of the suspicious nature of their inquiry, the word went out that enemy spies were somewhere within the city walls. The command was given to close the gates, and a dragnet-style search was begun to find those two spies. When the gates of the city were closed, God's servants became trapped within its walls. No place to go. And the only place they could find protection and refuge was in the house of that prostitute by the name of Rahab. It's funny how when your life is at stake, you're not real picky about who helps you. They weren't worried about which elder saw them coming out of which house. You see, in a prostitute's house, Rahab knew that in her house, in a prostitute's house, it is understood that no one talks about the names and faces of the people they saw. There's a kind of unwritten code in a prostitute's house. You forget about who you saw there and what happened. As a prostitute, Rahab lived on the edge of society. And what a life she had. She was used in private and abused in public. She was accepted in private, but rejected in public. A prostitute had to deal with being scorned by the very people who loved her behind closed doors. They'd pass her on the street, and if she waved, they didn't wave back. They didn't know her. She was snubbed by day by the ones who trampled her dignity by night. Rahab's house was built right at the city wall so that she could entertain clients of other nationalities and other cities, and her patrons at the edge of the city wouldn't have to face the glare of public view. Somehow in the face and faith of these two spies who came to her not looking for tricks, she knew they were in trouble. They were not of her region or caste. Rahab saw in their faces the light of a faith she wanted to make her own. Have mercy. To go into a prostitute's house and a light shine in your face that makes that prostitute says, whatever you got, I want it. Whoever your God is, I want him to be my God. She was of a different race, a different culture, not a part of the Hebrew people. But Rahab had heard, as all of those folks in Jericho had heard, of the exploits of the Hebrew God on behalf of his people. You see, you serve a God who loves to invoke the spectacular. She had heard how he had brought water out of a rock. She had heard, I'm talking about Rahab. She had heard of how he parted the waters of the Red Sea and how Pharaoh's army got drowned pursuing God's people. Rahab heard only bits and pieces, but what she heard made her a believer. And because she believed, she protected the two spies in her house. She said to those spies, and I love this, she said, I know that Jehovah your God, he is God. In heaven above and in the earth beneath. I know, said Rahab, that your God hath given you this land already. They are preparing to protect it, but I know that your God has already given you this land. A prostitute talking. Have mercy, Jesus. I know, said Rahab, that your God has already given you the victory. And suddenly in the distance could be heard the sound of soldiers' feet, and they knocked on Rahab's door, inquiring of her knowledge of these two spies. Rahab ran, hid the spies, and the soldier said, have you seen any unusual movements here? We're looking for two spies. She said to the soldiers, you just missed them. They left, and I think they went that away. Now, let me be clear on this. Lies are never sanctioned by God. The only explanation theologically that I can have for Rahab's lie is that for the Canaanites, lying was not a big thing. And more than likely, before she knew the Lord, she didn't know any better. Come on, I'm working with it this morning. The Bible says in Acts 17:30 that in times of ignorance, God winks. When you don't know any better, God won't hold it against you. The Bible tells us that God tolerates and even overlooks the ignorance of man. Oh, aren't you glad he's so merciful? But when the light of truth shines on your path, he expects you to put away your evil deeds. God can see the motive of every act, and even in Rahab's imperfection, Lord have mercy, God saw in a prostitute a heart of gold. Amen. But more than that, Rahab didn't know that God had prepared for her a higher destiny. And that's why the servant of the Lord says, God doesn't judge you by your occasional good deed or misdeed. He looks at your heart. Hebrews 11:31 says that by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that did not believe, because she believed. She said to the spies, now before you go, covenant with me, promise me that when you take Jericho, and I know you will, because your God is able, promise me that you will spare me and my family. Because she believed, Rahab received the spies. The Bible says sent them home another way. Sometimes God works through people like Rahab. People we would reject if they showed up at the church looking to serve. We'd reject them. You're not listening to me. You know, if a prostitute came in here applying to be a deaconess, if a pimp came through the door, a drug pusher says, I want to be an elder someday. Sometimes God uses those same people to bless us and protect us. God uses people of simple faith to accomplish his purposes because he looks beyond their past. He afflicts himself with amnesia. He says, your sins and iniquities, I will remember them no more. He afflicts himself with amnesia, looks beyond their past, and uses them for his glory. No matter how insignificant they may appear to be to us, they are not insignificant to God. Now, therefore, I pray you, she says, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that he also will deal kindly with my father's house. Now, you know, one would think that as a woman in Jericho, it would have been easy for Rahab to slip out, betray the spies, turn them in. After all, wasn't she devious anyway? You would think that as a cunning, brutal woman, she would have stabbed them, poisoned them, done something to them. She could have, are you with me today? And then she could have gone to the king for his congratulations. She would have been a hero amongst her people. But somehow, Rahab knew that she was born for a higher destiny. Somehow her faith helped her to see that she was born to a higher place. She saw a new vision of truth and took the risk of constructing a new future on that new vision of truth. Some of you have done that. That's why you're an Adventist. You saw a new vision of truth and you were committed to constructing a whole new future on a new vision. She saw that the city of Jericho was doomed. She couldn't save it anyway. Might as well line up with who's going to win. Are you with me today? She saw that by risking her own life, she couldn't save those nearest to her. So this harlot deliberately faced the risk of instant death in the hope of finding her destiny. She took her life in her hand, acted on the truth that she saw. She had faith in a higher destiny. She decided in that moment to put herself on the same side as the omnipotent God of heaven. To have faith like Rahab is to be able to look ahead, to act and suffer for what you believe is your higher destiny. My message this morning, higher destiny. Rahab was a harlot, a whore. She ran an establishment of ill repute, but God had prepared for her a higher destiny. Her life was sweet to her. She risked everything, however, to reach that destiny. A new life opened for her from that day. Her faith bound her heart and will to the Spirit of God. Faith and love can lift the worst of us to the gates of paradise. We too, like Rahab, are imperfect, you know. I love to tell people that you know, that saying that says all have sinned and come short. Some people like to make it redirected and make it say y'all have sinned and come short. But it's not y'all. The Bible didn't say y'all have sinned and come short. It said all, and that's you. I said that's you, and that's me. The question is whether or not you have laid hold on that mighty hand that is able to raise you up from the lowest, wipe the stains of sin from you, cause you to walk in the light as he is in the light, and to be pure as he is pure. I want you to know, no matter what I've done, no matter what I've been, and I've done some things that I'll never tell you about. Amen. I said amen. And there are some things you do you don't tell anybody but God. You don't have to confess to any man anything. When I see Rahab's name there in that book of Matthew, if you have your Bible with me, go to the book of Matthew. This is one of the most thrilling things in the whole Bible. Right there in the book of Matthew. Thank you, Jesus. Are you with me today? Amen. Matthew 1, verse 5. Talking about the genealogy of Christ. Salmon was the father of Boaz. And his mother was who? His mother was who? Rahab. I want you to know, when I see Rahab's name there, I know there's hope for me. For if God can save a sinner like Rahab, he can save a sinner like me. If God, and this is my point today, if God had a higher destiny waiting for one like Rahab, you must know that he's got a higher destiny waiting for you. It's waiting for you. So don't you be discouraged. God told me to tell you, don't you be discouraged. Even if you've been knocked down 2 and 3 and 4 and more times than you could ever remember. Rahab didn't allow her past to keep her from living out the new role God had designed for her. So don't you let your past keep you from living out the destiny God has prepared for you. Rahab was a sinner who rejected her life of sin, and for this God rewarded her. She became one of God's people. Rahab, a prostitute, became a wife of a prince in Israel. Hallelujah. How many princes in Israel will marry prostitutes? Only do it if God tells you to. Are you listening to me? She became a progenitor of Christ in the royal lineage of Christ. And so I say to you today, if there are days when spiritually you get discouraged, if there are days when spiritually you feel like a failure, remember that name, Rahab. It says, God has prepared for you and for me a higher destiny. Brothers and sisters, if God can save Rahab, raise her from the pit of sin to a higher destiny, don't be discouraged. He can do it for you. I want to read you something I came across as I prepared this message. One writer said, listen carefully, one of the first things he said to arrest me in Christ Jesus when I became a Christian is his power and influence in developing the lives he touches. He develops what he touches. It is as if God, in that sorrow of omniscience, had charged his son to call forth in us all possibilities. He looks at you and looks at me and he says, oh, there's a diamond in the rough. And I've got the power to bring out from her boundless possibilities. This writer said, I doubt not that there were other publicans with gifts as good as Matthew's. He said, I'm sure there were others with gifts as good as Matthew's. He said, I'm sure there were other doctors as sincere as Luke. But under the influence of Jesus, the gifts of these men so developed that they made all of history their debtors. While the rest sleep in their graves, we are in debt to those who placed their lives under the developmental influence of Christ. Awesome God. When Simon Peter first steps upon the scene, this writer said, he's a rash, impulsive, impetuous man. But Jesus accepts him anyway. Jesus recognized the greatness that is sleeping in him. And he knows that there's greatness sleeping in you. And so Jesus takes Peter, uses him like a master musician uses his beloved instrument till the chords are awakened into glorious music, that the centuries are still ringing with that music. Jesus touched nothing. Listen, Jesus touched nothing which he did not adorn. Whatever he touches, he embellishes. Whatever he touches, he adorns. He embellishes. That's what he did with my life. That's what he wants to do with your life. He'll take your life, no matter how low it is. You can be a prostitute, and he will touch your life. He will adorn it. He will embellish it. And not as people decorate streets, God adorns like he adorns the lilies of the field. He draws from the worst their best. He's an awesome God. There may be, lastly, this writer says, there may be years in which every talent in us is stagnant. How can I say this? God has a higher destiny prepared for you than you have already attained. God has a higher destiny prepared for you than you have already attained.
This is the conclusion of our program for today. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. Today you'll want to ask for program number 188, which will give you the title, Born to a Higher Destiny. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. As always, I wish you God's richest blessings, and I do hope that you'll join us again for another program here. But until then, please remember the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.